Father, we thank you for that grace that we have just sung of. We thank you for the grace that we find in studying your word, your message that comes to us directly from you. It's a letter to us from you, what you want us to know for our lives. We pray, Father, that you would help us see the importance of the scripture that we're studying this morning. We pray that you would help us to understand it correctly. We pray that you would help us to apply it fully. We pray that you would be glorified in our time of study this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the late 1800s, the Canadian Pacific Railway wanted to expand its rail service. And to do that, they had to cross some land that was owned by the Blackfoot Indians. When negotiations with Chief Crowfoot succeeded, the president of the railway gave Chief Crowfoot a lifetime pass to ride anywhere he wanted to go on the Canadian Pacific Railway. Well, Crowfoot was pretty proud of that pass. He put it in a leather case. He wore it around his neck for the rest of his life. But there's no evidence that he ever actually used that pass to go anywhere on the railroad. Well, travel as it was in that day, that was a pretty valuable piece of paper to have in your possession. Even travel as it is today, that would be a pretty valuable piece of paper to have in your possession. But it seems that Chief Crowfoot never really understood the real value of what he had, if it is a fact that he never actually used it. Well, that is a lot like what some Christians do with all of the provisions and promises that we have been given in Jesus Christ to grow in godliness. There are many Christians who think that it's nice to be saved. Okay, we need that. It's a good thing. It's good to have. It's nice to have the Holy Spirit with us. If we give much thought to that, it's nice. We're glad for it. It's nice to have the Bible. The Bible's nice. We're in favor of that. It's nice to have it on the coffee table if we ever need it. It's nice to have a few verses along with some nice scenery and some pictures for some framed art. It looks nice on the wall. Makes us feel good to have it there. But the real value in these things so often just sits there. Kind of like that lifetime pass hanging around the neck of an Indian chief who never uses it. For some Christians, I've heard it described also this way. It's like we've been given an account at the bank. Maybe see Clark after the service, see if his bank has any accounts like this. Has an unlimited line of credit that never has to be paid back. But then, having that account, we never visit the bank to make any transactions. We leave our debit card in our wallet, never take it out. We live on the streets in poverty. It's not taking advantage of all of the privilege that God has provided for us. In 2 Peter, knowing that he is very near the end of his life, knowing that he is writing to believers who are living in very difficult circumstances, and now on top of it all, they're being surrounded by false teachers, he knows that they need to know just how rich they are in Jesus Christ. The false teachers were likely trying to convince them that there was something they're lacking. And it just so happened that they knew what it was, and they had it for them, and they could have it for a small price. So So Peter's message to those believers was, no, do not listen to them. You have everything you need. God has given you everything you need and more. Now, if you are one who keeps a list of favorite verses, I would recommend to you that 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 deserve a place on that list. These are some incredible verses. They ought to be some favorites. The ironic thing, though, is that even though there is so much promise, so much blessing to be found in these verses, some of the implications of what is in these verses upset some people. Make some people kind of angry. Being the Bible lovers that you all are, I know that none of you will be in that category. These are some wonderful verses. Verse 3 begins like this. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. I remember several years ago, I was listening to the radio and I heard a Christian radio teacher say, there are some things that the Bible just doesn't deal with. And that's why I write books. Now, up until that day, this was someone who I respected and liked listening to. And I really do try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but I just could not come up with enough doubt that could benefit that statement. It seemed as though he was saying that he believed that God left some gaps, but he was going to fill them in for us. That there was something more that we needed that God left out. I've also read some things from people in different ministries, heard some things to the effect of, maybe you've had thoughts along these lines, that the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the salvation in general, covering the whole broad category, it's all good as far as it goes. It's nice for those who it works for. It's nice for those who have the fairly clean and starched lives. Those in the upper and middle classes who never have any real trouble. But we're dealing with people who have real problems. And we need something more to help these people. It's nice for you if it works. But it's not sufficient for them or for me. And I can tell you from my own experience, I've been there. That was my thinking for a period of time, thankfully, many years ago. From my perspective, it was many years ago. I feel kind of old being able to say something in my life happened many years ago. That's becoming more and more true every day, especially after Tuesday this next week. I thought that way. I appreciated the Bible. I read it almost every day. It was good. It was profitable. Salvation, you got to have that. It was necessary. But I thought there were some things that I needed help with that the Bible did not supply. At that time, I was dealing with some depression issues. And I thought I needed help. I did need help. I was just looking in the wrong place. And I only really found the help I needed when I was corrected about my thinking about the Scriptures and God's provision. Then I found the help that I really needed. That there are so many Christians today who are still looking for something that they think they need that God has not provided. They believe they need something more. And they go to the world for things like psychology. They've got to know because they are trained professionals, right? They've got something that God hasn't given us. People turn to even other mystical Eastern religions. And there's this big movement into New Age medicine. Things like yoga. All the stuff that can go along with that. And many, well, not all that long ago, to even mention yoga in a church was, well, obviously we're not going to have anything to do with that. That's Hindu. But today, to say that there could possibly be something not so good about yoga, you almost got to duck and cover. It's just accepted by so many, so broadly, so widely. The people are turning to all these different things to try to fix spiritual problems. Now, if you have sore and stiff muscles, you can stretch all you want to stretch. There's no problem with that. But things like yoga, it's not just stretching. There is a spiritual significance in these things that are trying to be accomplished, like trying to find peace. Trying to align the energy in your body with the energy of the universe. Trying to accomplish things spiritually that God has already abundantly provided the solution for. Listen again to what Peter says. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now, Peter wrote these Holy Spirit-inspired words to real people with real problems. They had family members and friends who had been murdered. If you remember from 1 Peter, we talked about how this was during the time of Nero. And he made it illegal to be a Christian, punishable by death. If you were found to be a Christian, you were given the death sentence. The lives of these people were in great danger. As Christians, they had no rights, they had no protection. Now, from what we know that happens in our day, if there is a group of people who has no rights and no protection, what happens to them? The people take advantage of that. You see it in the news, what's happening in some places in this world. Women are raped. Children are taken from their homes. They're sold into all kinds of terrible slavery. People are beaten. They are tortured. They're robbed. That was the lives of these people. They were in the midst of some very traumatic situations. And to them, Peter says, His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything you need to live the kind of godly life that God has called you to live has been granted to you. That word granted is in the perfect tense, which means it's something that happened in the past and the results of it continue on. You have been granted everything you need to live a godly life by the divine power of Jesus Christ. Is that enough? The divine power of Jesus Christ. Is that enough? What was there that these first century Christians in these traumatic situations needed to live a life of godliness that God didn't supply for them? Nothing. They had everything they needed. God had given them everything. But Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, I'd like you to turn to this one actually. if you could find this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It's another verse to add to your list of favorite verses if it's not already there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Let's read that again. Notice the sufficiency in these words. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Is that enough grace? Does he supply enough? Does he have enough available to him? All grace abound to you, so that always, not just most of the time, not just sometimes, always having all sufficiency in everything, not just most things, in everything, you may have an abundance, not just barely enough, an abundance for every good deed. What is there in your life that God has left out that you need, that you need to go to the world and borrow from, or go to some other pagan religion to fill in the gaps? What else is there that you need? There's nothing. God has provided it all. Last week, I said that through this study of 2 Peter, we would learn how to be godly. This is our first lesson in godliness. And that is to know that we have been given all of the resources necessary to make it happen. You already have it. Perfect tense. It was given in the past. The results of that gift continue on today and will continue on into the future. You have been given everything you need to live the life that God wants you to live. May not be the life you want you to live. May not be the life someone else thinks you should live. But the life that God wants you to live, you've been given everything you need. All of the resources necessary. Now, Peter tells us how God provided these resources. The second half of verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, says, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. That's how it happens. To live the kind of godly life that God wants you to live, we need to know Jesus Christ. The one who called us and saved us by his own glory and excellence. Not by our glory or excellence. Some of those other places where people are looking, that's where they tell you to look. You've got the answers inside of you. You just got to look deep and you'll find it. Well, I've studied myself a little bit, and I haven't found glory or excellence there. We are lacking in those areas very severely. Fortunately, Jesus has enough to make up for our lack. By his glory and excellence, he is sufficient for everything we need. And knowing him is enough. So how do we live godly? How has God provided for us to be able to be the people he wants us to be? We provided by his own glory and excellence. And we live godly by knowing him. The true knowledge of him. Now, if you survey your life and you find that you are lacking in godliness, and if you survey your life, you will. We all will. The answer is to get to know Jesus Christ better. That is why we should all be making disciples. We should all be involved in discipleship to help each other get to know Him better. That's why studying our Bibles as regularly as we can, in any way that we can, is so important. We grow in godliness through coming to know Jesus Christ better. We don't need help from the world. We don't need to tap into other religions. We need to know our Lord and know Him better. Verse 4 is a continuation of this same thought. Verse 4, Peter writes, "For by these," and these being His own glory and excellence, verse 3, "For by His own glory and excellence, He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises." Knowing and applying these promises is a very powerful resource that we have to live the godly life that God wants us to live. Now, we could spend days flipping through our Bibles, finding all of the passages that talk about promises that we have from God. But for this morning, just to name a few, we could think about how perfect, how useful, how valuable God says His Word is in places like Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. I think we just may have time this morning that we could turn there and read those. More verses that you could put on your list of favorites. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Now, that is all a description of God's Word. That is a description of that Bible you are holding in your lap this morning. You see how sufficient it is for godliness. It's perfect. It's true, it's right. We could look at how God's Word will make us adequate and equipped for every good work, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. What do we need to live the life that God wants us to live? Well, God says that His Word will make us adequate and equipped for every good work that He wants us to do. That's one of those promises. We could think of the promise that Jesus gave in John chapter 14, verse 16, when He said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever." Of course, He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, if you wanted to study the Holy Spirit, we could spend several months' worth of Wednesday nights studying the Holy Spirit, which just so happens we are doing that on Wednesday nights. Studying all of the resources that believers have in Jesus Christ through the coming of the Holy Spirit. And along with that, we could consider the fruit of the Spirit, which I plan to at some point on a Wednesday night in the future. Those of you who come on Wednesday nights, if you hear me say we're getting to the end of our study and we haven't covered the fruit of the Spirit yet, remind me, because I want to make sure that we do that. The fruit of the Spirit is something that all believers have. It comes with the coming of the Holy Spirit. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, saved from your sins, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what kind of problems do you have in your life? Do you have relationship problems? If so, has God given resources for that? He has. The fruit of the Spirit is love, according to Galatians 5:22. The Bible says that the answer to pretty much every relationship problem from our side is love. Jesus said that the two commandments, to love God above everything else and love your neighbor as yourself, that pretty much sums up the Bible. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the fruit of the Spirit, you have been given the ability to love. You have problems with depression? The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Do you have problems with worry? The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Do you have problems with anger? The fruit of the Spirit is patience. You can go on down the list. Whatever is necessary for living the life that God wants us to live, He has made the promise, and He has abundantly supplied the grace, all of the resources that you need to live that life. He hasn't left anything out. There are no gaps that need to be filled. We don't need to borrow from the world. We don't need to borrow from other religions. And honestly, I think it's an insult to God to suggest that maybe we do. He has given it all. Even the life of His own Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" If He did not spare the life of His Son for us because He loved us, how could we even begin to think that He's not going to give us whatever else we need to live the life that He wants us to live? That is one of those promises. If He's given the life of His Son, He's going to give you what you need. So that by them, back in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, by those promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. By those promises, things like salvation from sin, a promise we have from God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Through that salvation, we are given spiritual life. Now, when this says that we may become partakers of the divine nature, this doesn't mean that we become gods. It doesn't mean that we become little gods. We don't become any gods. But we do become like our Savior in His character, in His nature. We are given spiritual life. We're given the Holy Spirit, who takes up residence inside of us and changes us. That's the way that we are partakers of the divine nature. And by these promises, by the divine power that is granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, the more we come to know Jesus Christ through the working of the Holy Spirit, the more we become like Jesus Christ. We're partakers of the divine nature. And verse 4 ends by saying, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lusts. Now that is true of all who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. God has rescued us from the dead, rotting filth and corruption that is caused by lust. A lust for more. That's what got Satan. That's what started it all. I want more. God has withheld something from me. I want more. Satan wanted God's throne. Then he went to Adam and Eve and he said, there's something more. God's holding out on you. If you would just eat the fruit of this tree, you'll have it. And it's gone on generation after generation. We want more. We have escaped that. God has rescued us from that. That need for more. And getting to know Jesus and applying the promises that He has made to us makes us become more and more like Jesus Christ and takes us further and further away from the world. Is that enough? In the first century Roman Empire, there were people coming to these Christians trying to make them believe that they had something better, something a little more, something that God left out that they could give to them. Well, we face that same thing today. It wasn't just a problem in the first century. The content of the false teaching may not be exactly the same, but the principle is the same. God's word is not enough. All of the resources that God has provided in salvation are not enough. You need something more. They may come to you and give promises of their own. Look at me. Look at how it's worked for me. You know, pragmatism is a large god to a lot of people. It works. It worked for me. It'll work for you too. They may come to you with a shortcut to godliness. Instead of all of that work it takes to study and rightly understand and apply the Bible and memorize Scripture, I've got some pills or I can poke you with a needle and you'll be all set. Or maybe they'll come to you and say, well, you can't really be godly anyway. We're all a mess, so just don't worry about it. Or maybe some will come to you and say, you know, God helps those who help themselves. It says that in the Bible somewhere, right? So be your own man or woman. Take some initiative. Look inside yourself and get what you want yourself. We haven't even begun to touch on all of the charismatic ideas that try to tell us that God hasn't done enough. The Scriptures aren't enough. You've got to listen for God's voice, like there's more revelation that we need, that God hasn't given enough. There are all kinds of people who have all kinds of ways to tell us that God has not given us enough. He has not done enough. But God tells us, through Peter, that the first step toward real godliness is to know that God has already granted to us everything we need to be godly and to live the life that He wants us to live. Now, it seems logical, it seems obvious, that if you have been given everything, that ought to be enough. Wouldn't you agree? Isn't everything enough? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the verses that we studied. We thank You for the promise that You have given, that You have given us everything. Everything that we need to live the life that You want us to live. If there is any deficiency, it's in us. It's our fault. You have given everything that's necessary. All that we need is to get to know you more, to understand your promises more, to understand your provision more. You've given everything that's necessary. We pray, Father, that you would help us to see the areas where we have been looking other directions, looking in other places for things that you have already given, looking for answers to spiritual problems that we have that you have already given the solution for. We pray, Father, that you would make that clear to us, that we would repent of it, that you would correct us on that, and that we would come to you, realize your sufficiency. We pray, Father, that we would see the Scriptures as important as David said they were in Psalm 19. That they are perfect. That they are able to make the changes in us that we need. That through your word we can be adequate and equipped for every good work. And as it says in Hebrews, that your word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It will pierce us the division of joints and marrow. That knows us better than we know ourselves. Discerns the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And can make us the people that you want us to be. We pray that we rely on the working of the Holy Spirit within us. That we would turn to you alone. To find the resources that we need to live. Because you've given them. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.